fan. On demand. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights. Untouchable. Seriously, we dare you to try and touch him. Bob McCowan at Primetime Sports. Now. On the Sportsnet Radio Network.
We were trying different things. We were smoking funny things. Making love out by the lake to our favorite song. Sipping whiskey out the bottle. Not thinking about tomorrow.
Primetime Sports, Wednesday, July 30th. Sid Sixero in once again for the vacationing Bob McCowan. I'm sorry. Elliot Friedman will again join me in hours 2 and 3. Ken Reed, Ivanka's better half on Sportsnet Connected, joins us now in studio for this hour. Kenny, it's a pleasure. You are fresh off the golf course, aren't you, sir?
Not a worry in the world, and I'd also like to apologize to everyone. When they play the Kid Rock summer music and then they go to the Replacements, you know it's summer.
Yeah,
right?
It is summer because Bob's not here.
There is no Bob.
And we are here. So again, Elliot's going to join me in hours 2 and 3. Kenny's been kind enough to sit in for this hour. Mike Tyson's going to be on the show today. We have taped an interview with Mike. We're going to run it at 6 p.m. Eastern off the front. Trying to think of a way to characterize the interview we had. How would you do it? It's one of the high points of my day.
I'm looking forward to listening to it for sure. Mike Tyson. When you have Mike Tyson on, that's pretty cool.
The context of which is his The Undisputed Truth show is going to roll through Air Canada Centre September 10th. So it's going to be Mike with pictures and stuff, and the ACC,
the one man show.
He's going to take it over.
That's a career transformation, is it not?
Yes, it is.
You know what Mike Tyson fights I love watching the most? The first 10 or 12 fights, when he's just fighting this guy that looks like he showed up for $50 and $17 for the hot dogs, and he just annihilates.
In one corner, Mike Tyson, like 2-0.
Yeah.
Mike Tyson. The other corner, David Johnson. Yeah. And Johnson's like 28-13 and feeling pretty good about himself at this point.
Yeah. And then he just gets pulverized.
Just gets smoked like a cigar.
His next opponent with a professional record of 8 wins, 14 losses, and 3 fights he just didn't show up to. That guy.
I got to be honest. I spend a lot of holidays just watching. When I see that up on some classic channels, guilty pleasure, I watch every second of it.
And you know what's going to happen.
Yep.
And it's just, oh!
It's like a series of car accidents.
Yeah.
And you can't turn away from it.
And the guy knows what's going to happen.
Correct. So
he's sitting over there. He's doing his little shadow boxing. Why even bother with the shadow
box? He didn't know.
Just go in.
He didn't know.
You're going to get knocked out. He knew he was going to get knocked out.
Not in those early fights.
Oh, yes.
Like you said, that's the beauty of the early Tyson fights. Those guys thought they had shots. Those guys didn't know. The tiger that was across the ring from
them. They knew they didn't have a shot.
No, I don't know.
They knew they didn't have a shot. But they thought, hey, man, I'm getting $1,500. Boom. And then, $5,000 worth of medical bills.
Buff in the face.
Yes.
Coming up, we hope, because as we talked about all week, the non-waiver trade deadline in Major League Baseball is tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern. So 24 hours from now, things could be stupidly quiet, or it could be the silly season.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know yet.
And then after it, you can still trade.
You can still trade.
Yeah.
Put a guy through waivers.
Yes.
You can still trade.
Right.
We're hoping to talk to Bob Nightingale from USA Today coming up in about 10 minutes. But if Ish goes down, he might not join us. Legal analyst Rob Becker will be with us later in the hour. A couple things going on. The story I kind of threw out there yesterday, didn't have time for. The NCAA settled a concussion lawsuit where none of the money initially will go to people who have suffered concussions.
Yeah, that's great. Eh?
It's an amazing story of compassion, caring, and just evil doing.
So basically now the guys who complained have to do their own personal lawsuit.
Oh, no, they have a thing set up. The money's going somewhere. We'll talk to Rob Becker. And Donald Sterling hopefully won't be the owner of the Clippers in 2 months. And if you're Doc Rivers and some other guys in the Clippers organization, you are really paying attention to the story, obviously.
Yes.
Don Meehan of Newport Sports, we're expecting to have on at 5:15. The reported numbers between the Habs and PK Subban have been leaked. The arbitration hearing is scheduled for Friday. No one expects this thing to get to Friday. However, the discrepancy in the numbers is tasty, and we'll get to that momentarily. Don Meehan expected to be on the show today. Doug Whaley, Buffalo Bills GM. The Bills and the Giants Sunday night Hall of Fame game in Canton will be officially, or unofficially, because it's an exhibition game. It's an unofficial NFL game, but whatever. First game on the sched this year will be Bills and Giants Sunday, so we'll talk about that. As I mentioned, Mike Tyson at 6, and the story that came out of Cooperstown on Saturday that was, to me, far more interesting than the class of 2014 was the eligibility on the election ballot going from 15 to 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Raines is staring now, because of this rule, at 3 more years.
Mm-hmm.
What could have been 8 is now 3.
And it's a joke that Tim Raines has waited this long. I'll just put that in as a member of Expos Nation. I think it's an absolute farce. So hopefully now, I think that this rule is just going to help Tim Raines get in sooner and just make these writers get down to business instead of just delaying it for a couple more years. So I think this is actually a good thing for Tim Raines.
You think this is going to help him?
Yeah, because I think all these guys that are kind of, I'm going to let him wait till about the 11th or 12th year, they're going to have to say, well, he is a Hall of Famer, so I'll just vote for him now. And they'll just put him in quickly rather than make him wait another 4 or 5 years. I think he'll get in the next year or two. And he should have been in a long time ago.
This is a dangerous thing, though. I think guys can get lost in the shuffle a lot more now.
Yeah, because,
potentially.
You know, and in a couple of years, there's going to be some big names coming up on the ballot, and you can only vote for 10 guys. So a guy like Tim Raines should not have had to wait this long. And I think he'll get in the next year or two, and it's obviously well-deserved and long overdue. I mean, if you look at his numbers, they're ridiculous. Probably the second-best leadoff hitter of all time. The only thing he didn't have going for him was when he was doing his thing, Ricky Henderson was doing his thing in the American League. So
still fifth all-time in stolen bases.
Yeah. And
2 rings with the Yankees.
And you know what blows your mind is Tim Raines, I know Tony Gwynn was one of the greatest hitters of all time, but when you watch Tim Raines walked a lot. Tim Raines was on base, I believe, just as much, if not more, than Tony Gwynn. He just took his walks. So, and Tim Raines is also a guy that probably could have had 3,000 hits or a lot closer to it if you factor in the 94 work stoppage, the 81 work stoppage. So he'd have been really close to 3,000. So think about it.
So Mr. Raines will be joining us a little later on. First things first. How about them Jays?
Hallelujah. Are they hot or what?
How about them right now? My not guilty pleasure, my pleasure. Mm-hmm. It's nothing guilty about it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm doing my summer nights right now?
It probably involves food and television.
Bingo has been called.
Mm-hmm.
So it starts off with, I'll throw a show out there. You know, I watched with the wife a little Bachelorette finale.
Okay. Like,
that's my summer. Okay. Little Bachelorette finale. It's not my call. These things just kind of happen.
Sure they do.
Pick up the Jays, inning 3, 4, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
After the game, keep it locked. Mm-hmm. Ken Reed, Ivanka Osmak.
That's a given. That's a given.
Greg Zahn, Jamie Campbell. It's almost like it's like a 4-man desk now.
It is. It was a 4-man dance. It's a 3-person dance off last night. I didn't dance with them, but yes. And then they're grooving, man, and I'm not talking about Zahn and Campbell and Osmak. I'm talking about the Blue Jays.
Let's not bury the lead here. You guys had a dance off last night. You did not take part in it.
No.
Greg Zahn did the worm.
Mm-hmm.
And not just did the worm. He looked like the guy who invented how to do the worm.
Mm-hmm.
It was an incredible athletic.
It was.
An intellectual achievement.
When he got up, the mantelist was somewhat winded. At that point,
but he's in a full three-piece.
No, he's in a three-piece.
He's in a suit doing the worm on connected.
And at that point, I reminded him, you are a professional athlete. He got his wind back about him, and he went on with his night.
I would have been done for the evening.
Oh, and then Jamie Campbell does a wicked twist, and Ivanka is a very awkward dancer.
No mashed potato from Jamie?
No, Ivanka looks like
more modern?
Ivanka looks like Elaine Benes from that episode where she couldn't dance. But she has fun doing it, so.
She can do whatever she wants, Ivanka.
She can.
She can do whatever she wants.
And, of course, we all know that you can only watch Ivanka via television, given the restraining order and whatnot.
Correct.
Which is very awkward here at work.
It's very.
First floor, third floor kind of vibe, and you have to call down when you want to walk into the newsroom.
Very strange.
Yeah.
So, now, with all of this going on,
mm-hmm.
it's the Lester thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, the latest of which, and Tim McAuliffe had it in the last hour, there were some reports out of local Baltimore that Lester to the Orioles is close to being done.
Mm-hmm.
Ken Rosenthal, knower of all things, a wise sage, mm-hmm. says, not really. Not saying
yet.
It won't happen.
Not yet.
Not yet. So, that's the latest on John Lester. He hasn't gone anywhere. He was going to go tonight. He was pulled from the start. John Farrell announced it yesterday after the game. Mm-hmm. Brandon Workman will go. This is actually win-win either way for the Jays here.
Hey,
regardless, they don't have to see this guy.
They don't have to play against John Lester, and they get to face the guy who's just called up from Pawtucket. So.
And he's been all over the place, Workman. He's been up, he's been down, he's been lit up, he's looked okay, but he doesn't throw a lot of innings. Like, this is the way the Jays are rolling right now. this is a guy you want to see.
Now, you want to, did that Felix Dubront trade go through to the Cubs? Because I'm sure the Jays would like to see Dubront again, given what they did to him the other
Correct.
Night.
Correct. Just a bizarre, it's such a Cubs thing to do.
Yeah.
Theo Epstein picking up Felix Dubront. I don't know if it's official. Well, it's close to being official.
When I heard that, I said, is there a cap floor in Major League Baseball that I don't know about?
Why would
you really want to pick up Felix Dubront? But whatever, I'm sure Theo Epstein knows him well. But yeah, I don't think John Lester's coming to Toronto. So would you be ticked if he ended up in Baltimore, given that Baltimore is absolutely styling right now?
Yes.
Yes?
I think this trade deadline has become just as much about everyone else as it is the Jays.
Right.
And if you're going to wait till the waiver deadline, which is basically a month from now, mm-hmm. I think it's a dangerous game to play if money is an issue. Because what happens in the waiver trade deadline is it is completely stacked for the budget teams or the non-budget teams, teams that can just spend. So you put a guy through waivers. If you aren't near your financial end, you can't put a claim in and block anybody mm-hmm. in case you actually have to keep the guy. If you don't have any money, the waiver game come next month is not for you. And if the Jays are having issues financially, and Anthopoulos better get his stuff in order now, because he's not equipped to play that game 30 days from now.
Do you think, though, that Marcus Stroman and Aaron Sanchez have not radically altered the I don't know what the word is, the landscape for the Toronto Blue Jays, because they needed a starter, they needed some bullpen help. Now, all of a sudden, they found a starter in Stroman, and they found some bullpen help in Sanchez. So are you in such a desperate situation to trade anymore? And there's no, I've been saying it for a while now. The Orioles are 13 games over 500, and to me, there's no way they can keep this up. They have got to go through not necessarily the funk the Jays went through before the All-Star game, but they're going to cool down a little bit.
Who's to say they can't keep this up?
Me.
Manny Machado, boom, just got reared. Manny Machado, earlier this season, was a petulant child.
That's why we
couldn't
love him.
Do anything right. He's coming off the injury, mm-hmm. batting .213, throwing bats at people, and getting into fights with Yunel Escobar, which I don't necessarily hate.
Right.
But he was out of control. Buck Showalter is a genius. Buck Showalter not only reins the kid in, he hasn't played better baseball. Machado with a walk-off last night in a wild ball game against the Anaheim
Angels.
Yeah,
that was crazy.
Absolutely wild game. So he's reined in a kid that looked unreinable. That's even a proper term. I don't think it's a word. Just made it up.
I think you just made it up. That's cool. I think they have to cool down. There's no way that they can keep this pace
up. Are the Rays going to cool down?
Yeah, the Rays will cool down. The Rays are a good team. The Rays are going to make you go for the rest of this season. And all of a sudden, Price
is
over.
What are you, CNC Music Factory?
Yes.
Things that make you go.
Me and Jay, we were really, really tight.
Apparently not.
But, Zobrist is off the market. Price is off the market. You would think. Now they might shock me over the next 24 hours, but you would think. But Tampa Bay, to me, is better than the 53-54 that they are. Baltimore, to me, is not quite the 59-46 that they are. So I'm thinking Tampa Bay will still come up a little. Baltimore has to come down a little. And I think the Jays, they kind of are who they are. What are they, 8 games above 500 right now, 58-50? So I think that's the Jays. So maybe Baltimore will come back just a little bit.
See, Baltimore nearly made the postseason a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And people need to remember that. This was not a team full of chopped liver before Nelson Cruz and Jimenez comes in. Now, Jimenez hasn't done a whole hell of a lot, and he's been injured recently.
Nelson Cruz has. Yeah.
At $8 million for 1 year, that's a pretty good return.
That's a good deal.
That's pretty good.
He's going to cash in, I think.
The Rays are 29-12 in their last 41.
Mm-hmm.
29-12. Every guy they're throwing out there is giving them a solid outing on the mound, and they're starting to hit a bit more.
They're who we thought they were going to be at the start of the season.
They scare me. Orioles still scare me. Mm-hmm. I can't figure the Yankees out.
But you can never.
I don't know what the Yankees. But if all the teams we're talking about, how can you not dismiss the team that's missing their entire starting rotation from spring training?
That's a good question.
That's the part of the Yankees I'm just blown away by. They're still pulling this together. It's with scotch tape and
it's what they scotch taped it last year for an entire season. They scotch taped their whole lineup last year.
It was. Did you see the end of the Rangers game last night?
I did not.
You're on the desk. Well, so bases loaded. Aaron Seabee has one of the best games he's ever had.
Seven RBI last night?
He had seven ribbies?
Seven RBI last night.
Wow. I know he had four hits. Bases loaded. Adrian Beltre down a run, and he connects well to left field. Like Arlington gets up. what the hell is about to happen? The Rangers have nothing to play for. If this were England, they were going to get relegated to the second division.
Okay.
Like, that's the kind of season it's been. They were about to lose their minds. This is the Yankees coming back. This is their World Series this year. It nearly went out as settled in club. Dramatic end. It's dramatic end in Baltimore. Dramatic end in Texas. The Jays just
took everybody won last night.
Everybody won
in the race. How about that ball off the head of Leonis Martin last night, off the glove of Alex Rios, then off Martin, and I immediately thought Jose Canseco because Canseco was with the Rangers.
Canseco's
when that
went for a home run.
Yes, Canseco's went over the wall. Right,
Canseco's the only guy, unless there's another MLB guy in history that I can't remember off the top of my head, to have a baseball go off his massive cranium.
Can't recall it,
and then literally go over the wall for a regulation home run.
You think the odds of that happening to Barry Bonds would have been good, given the head growth late in his career, and he was playing the outfield as well.
It's a great point.
But it only happened to Jose.
By the way, I don't know if I could say this on air. The number last night on the Jays?
Say it.
I'm not going to say it. Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's right. We're not allowed to say that on air. I think it's
whatever. All I know is other people are buying today. The trading deadline. I'm not going to get in trouble for that. Trade deadline, non-waiver.
You didn't say anything.
So I didn't say anything.
No. Well, Scott Moore was walking around with a baseball bat earlier, coming to talk to us. So I'd be pretty careful if he's listening.
I saw that. And technically, in Rogers' campus world, anything Scott Moore does in these walls is completely legal.
Oh, it's completely legal.
You can't charge him with anything.
So that was on the contract you signed as well.
Yes, we all have the same thing.
Right.
USA Today's Bob Nightingale, kind enough to join us. One of the busiest times of his year. Bob, thanks for this. How you doing?
Yeah, doing great. How about you guys?
Pretty good.
Great,
pretty
thing.
Good. All right. Here's the deal. You're a busy man. This is a busy time. Ken and I are going to just throw names at you. You tell us the first two or three things that pop into your head. Cool?
Okay.
John Lester.
A workhorse for somebody. Love to have him down the stretch.
Is he going anywhere? Baltimore? Is this going to happen?
He's definitely going to be traded. Yeah. I mean, you would think it's either going to be Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Milwaukee, or Dodgers. I got a feeling it's going to be, I wouldn't be surprised if it was Milwaukee.
Okay.
Milwaukee. Are you surprised how much fog there still is, Bob, in this story? Are you surprised it hasn't been done yet?
A little bit. I think now it's like, okay, everyone is see what David Price is going to do. They got beat. You know, they best seen out there, going to be sellers. So I think the pricing is kind of holding people up. And okay, if Price isn't available, then everybody's all in on Lester. If Price is still out there, they'll definitely go after him first.
Well, that took care of me saying David Price. Let's go Ben Zobrist.
Yeah, I mean, I got a feeling that Zobrist may stay. If Zobrist is traded, it means they're definitely just giving up. I think they trade Price, they can tell people, you know what, we got such a great package back, and this package is going to help us right now. You know, currently as well as the future. So I think you can sell it to the fans, maybe in the clubhouse, Price being traded, but having a an everyday player traded is a little different story.
Bob Nightingale, USA Today, here on Primetime Sports. The non-waiver trade deadline in Major League Baseball is now less than 24 hours away. Next name, Cole Hamels.
Staying put. Price tag is very high. You know, and the Phillies don't need to trade him. You know, unless they get overwhelmed, they ask the Dodgers their top three guys, unless that happens, and then get it, they're going to stay put. I mean, they got to get a contract for 2018, and the Phillies have as much money as any team in baseball.
Let's go Cliff Lee.
He's traded in August. They got to see him healthy first. He's had two rocky outings. The Phillies will put him on waivers in August. He should clear. And then teams will start negotiating, but I don't think he'll be there past August 31st.
Jonathan Papelbon.
I still believe he's traded. He may be like a Cliff Lee situation. They'll put him on waivers in August. If somebody claims him, they'll say, you know, okay, you got him, he's yours. Otherwise, I think they'll eat some of the salary and move him for like a mid-tier prospect in August.
Marcus Stroman and Aaron Sanchez, would they be untradeable at this point for the Blue Jays?
Yeah, I don't think anybody should be untradeable. If you're trying to go for this thing, you know, you give up prospects. And, you know, how many prospects we hear about that always, you know, fizzle out? You never are the players. You know, you got to go for this thing. Sometimes it may look painful at the time, but it's not. You know, look at all those Cliff Lee trades. I mean, all those guys are busts that they got for him. You're talking about one of the best pitchers in baseball.
Alex Anthopoulos.
He's an aggressive guy, and I think he definitely wants to make a splash here. I mean, the division is wide open. It's time to go for it. Because, you know, if the Red Sox aren't going to make the playoffs this year, the Yankees probably won't. They're going to come gun blazing next year. I mean, here's our opportunity.
Bob Nightingale, USA Today, here on Primetime Sports. Non-waiver trade deadline is tomorrow, now less than 24 hours away. In terms of the division the Jays are in, Bob, and obviously the division we focus on the most up here, if you are the Orioles, which one of the teams behind you that aren't Boston concerns you the most?
It was gonna be Toronto. I mean, New York's still in it, but it's really a two-team race with the Orioles and the Blue Jays. You can't completely dismiss the Yankees, and the Rays have to come back from a long way. I mean, we're seven out coming in. That team scares you, but time's starting to run out here, and I would think it's just two teams right now.
Bob, if you were running the Blue Jays, would you go for it? You mentioned, you know, no one should be untradeable and you got to unload prospects, but would this be a year to unload some prospects, or would you stick with a guy like Stroman and Sanchez and, let's say, a Norris that's down a little lower?
You know, if you have a chance to go for it, you do it. You trade away prospects that may hurt. So what? You know, who knows what it'll turn out. And, you know, these days, every team is making a killing financially. You know, certainly the Blue Jays are one of them. It's not like you have to have homegrown players to make ends meet or anything like that. You know, everybody's flush with money. So, you go back in your farm system and reload again. You know, do like the Giants do. You know, they get these prospects and they use them for trade chips. And they won two World Series the last 4 years doing so.
Bob, the Tigers have been kind of quiet in all this. A perennial division contender. Their division's not the best in baseball, obviously, but they're always there. What? Where's their headspace right now? Could they do something between now and tomorrow?
They could. I mean, they did get Soria for the bullpen. That helps. I wouldn't be surprised to see them go get another bat as well. I mean, they have been a little quiet, but there's not a whole lot for them to do. I mean, they've kind of been underachieving. So I think they'll do something, and I think they'll do something in August too, but I think it'll be smaller moves.
Bob Nightingale, USA Today here on Primetime Sports. Ken Reed and myself, Bob, we brought up the Yankees just a few moments ago, and I think a lot of people would have a hard time believing Brian Cashman, with all the pitching problems they have, just sitting on his hands over the next 24 hours. What do you see for that team?
Well, that's where the prospects come into play, is because you can use those for trade chips. And they don't have a lot of that. That's their problem. So I think they'll go get some second-tier type of pitchers to help. But, you know, they can't be in the running for a Hamels or a Lester or a Price. They just don't have enough to get it. Now, with the Phillies, you know, when they put Lee on waivers in August, they wouldn't surprise me whatsoever if the Yankees said, you know what, it's just money. Yeah, we'll go ahead and sign him.
And take him on for next year? Or is he free agent?
Exactly. He's got a $37.5 million coming.
Yeah.
And next year in his buyout. But at least you don't have to give up any players.
How did we were talking about how the Yankees don't really have a starting rotation. It's been kind of patchwork. And it seemed the lineup was kind of patchwork last year. Have they done a good job just kind of staying above water here at 55 and 51 with that? And is it impressive, or is it kind of not impressive from a Yankee standpoint?
No, I think it's impressive. With all the injuries they've had, you know, DeShera being in and out of the lineup, I think four-fifths of rotation has been hurt. So I think it's one of Joe Girardi's best jobs yet as far as keeping these guys in contention, because, you know, sometimes you wonder how these guys ever win. They're just not that good.
Speaking of not good, what's your take on the Red Sox and what happened there this year? And was that just maybe a lucky win last year, or was it just a totally different vibe there this year?
Yeah, I mean, can't say it's a lucky win, but everything went right for those guys. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they had a great team chemistry. They played so far over their head. And you kind of had the sense this year it's not going to happen 2 years in a row. That's why a lot of people were not picking them to repeat, just because you can't be that fortunate two straight years, no injuries, everything like So I think the Red Sox, you know, they're a better team than, you know, they're a better team than they're showing right now, but they're certainly not as good as they showed last year either.
Is David Ortiz kind of all alone there now? Like, I mean, it seems like if you pitch around Ortiz, you have a chance to win every night when you play Boston.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, Dustin Pedroia has really scuffled this year. And, you know, otherwise, you know, a lot of new guys there. And, you know, it might take them a couple of years to get back. I would think they'd be big players this year in the free agent market. You know, we'll see, especially with not having Lester, you know, once they trade him.
Bob, just a couple more. Everyone's of the belief it wouldn't be the craziest thing, despite their salary and payroll where it is, for the Dodgers to try and get that other arm, for the Dodgers to try and get something to complement Ryu, Greinke, and Kershaw, and a guy of significance. What's your take on that?
No, I know they want a bullpen arm. That wouldn't surprise me at all. I know the Phillies asked for top three guys, you know, which is understandable. You know, Hamels is that good. Right now they're telling people, well, we don't want to give up, you know, top prospects for another starter. But I think they do. I think they're very worried about the fourth and fifth guys. And if you get a top guy to go with them, you know, it's your, you know, ticket to the World Series.
Didn't the Dodgers get Vin Scully in a trade? Now, like, that's a good trade.
It's a pretty good trade.
Yeah.
I remember, names escaped me, in Detroit, a great Ernie Harwell.
Yeah,
he was traded. He was actually acquired in a trade for sure.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, I think they got those mixed up. Yeah, Harwell was picked up in a trade.
Yeah.
It was Vin Scully night last night at Chavez Ravine. It was actually fantastic. The Dodgers announced Mr. Scully's coming back for another season, and the world can continue to rotate on its axis because he's amazing.
66? Yeah, 66 season.
Man, still as sharp as a tack. Finally, Bob, scale of 1 to 10, 10 being they are the headline makers tomorrow. How active are the Jays?
You know, I thought they'd do more stuff during the winter. I still think they'd be very active. I'll give them a 7. I still think they come up with something. Yeah, they got to go for this thing. I mean, things are going right for them, and the divisions are for the taking. You know, the one thing, too, you make moves not just to help out your team, but also, you know, jumpstart that morale in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
You know, when teams make moves, the players get all excited and say, okay, the front office is really trying to win here. We'll step up our game, too.
Bob, good stuff. Get some sleep over the next 24 hours, and let's do this again soon. Appreciate it.
All right, my pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Bob.
This is Bob Nightingale, USA Today. He is on it.
7 out of 10 would make for an interesting day tomorrow.
7 out of 10 gives us stuff to talk about. Yeah. Are you back here at 4 o'clock tomorrow?
I am. And was it Casey Jansen that you had a clip from yesterday? You or Tim?
The guy, Friege and producer Ryan Walsh had found it. I was adrift at sea on that one, but they had it.
It was basically him going, okay, we're doing what we got to do. Now, management, you do what you got to do.
You know what you're saying? See, he didn't put the New York thing on
the accent, but we will.
You did that.
Yeah,
and it was completely unnecessary.
You wanted funny to do it.
I wanted to do it.
I did it for you.
Does that work? It's like going to Alex's office. Hey!
Yo!
Alex! Let's do some.
Let's do something.
I don't think that works.
No, but I think he said, to paraphrase, you know, we think we're doing a great job. So, you know.
But that's like the adrenaline that would send through
yes.
a clubhouse.
Could you imagine that vibe?
That's real.
It's like when you and Timmy came and joined Sportsnet. Seriously, we were all kind of pumped
up.
The
complete opposite took place.
No.
The place smelled a little bit different.
Well, there was a little.
The place got a little heavier.
You could smell a little more gravy, a little more meat product. You could smell meat throughout the building. But still, I mean, if you go out and make that big splash, that's going to send a good vibe to the clubhouse. Now, the guys, they're 9-3 since the All-Star break. And
that's solid, man.
Pretty solid. Now, they're not playing the 55 Brooklyn Dodgers every night. And
No. We
said before this run, you got to make your hay now. Look who the Orioles are playing over the next 17. Look who the Jays are playing over the next 17. And they're delivering. And the guys that have stepped in are delivering. Look at a Ryan Goins, a Dan Johnson. They're doing their part. Now, maybe if they go out, bring a name or two in, bring somebody that's going to make a difference in. You got Lind and Encarnacion and Lurie all going to come back. That will be, there'll be good vibes down at Rogers Place.
I am now legally allowed to say what the rating number was last night for the Toronto Blue Jays on Sportsnet Ontario.
Why now?
I don't know, but I trust the people behind the glass because I am a fool.
Okay, look around, see if you see Scott with that bat. Anyway.
Scott Moore, the ruler of Rogers, he's walking around with a bat. He's not here. 1.1 million people last night on Sportsnet Ontario. Wow. That's a million less than the Tour de France. That's not true. I made up the last
1.1 million for the Jays and Red Sox last night.
So that means you guys on Connected got at least seven.
Sure. I like the way you think. I'm telling you, man, if they are in it in September, these numbers are going to be off the charts. And this country is going to be off the charts just getting behind the Blue Jays because they're desperate.
You want off the charts? I've also just been told in my ear, in the history of Blue Jays baseball on Sportsnet's air, that is the highest rating number they've ever had in a game that was not a season opener or a home opener. A home opener.
Fantastic.
Is wild.
Yep. 1.1 million people got to see a 23-year-old pitcher do his thing. Like a kid is just as promised. You know, a prospect that is making it look good so far. One earned run in his last 21 innings.
One earned run in his last 21 innings. He is fearless. And again, and I heard Zani on with Tim earlier today, and and Zani was saying it doesn't take just a couple trips for a guy through the American League to get found out as a pitcher. It takes more than that. Mm-hmm. However, the Red Sox just saw this kid last week.
Yeah.
There's no
secrets. He one hit them here. Last week. Over the
There's no secrets here. And he still shuts them down the next time.
Favorite part of last night, bottom of the fifth inning. There's a couple on for David Ortiz. There's two out. Stroman goes down 2-0. And you're thinking, okay, what's he going to do here? And he goes right at him. He goes right at him.
In the face.
In the face, as you would say. He goes right at him, and Ortiz hits into the shift. And I don't know what you'd call it, shallow right or whatever, but grounds out. I guess it would be a ground out to second on the scorecard. But he just went right at him, and that takes manhood. Is that what we want to call
it? Yes, it takes manhood.
Yeah, it takes manhood, and he went right at him, and man, the kid's gutsy, man.
You know what I think? I think David Ortiz is bigger than he thinks he's bigger than the game.
Why wouldn't you, man? Why
it's
wouldn't you?
My own opinion.
He's Big
I'm not
Poppy.
Piggybacking anyone else.
If your name was Big Sid, you'd walk around it thinking you were bigger than the
it
game.
It is Big Sid.
Yeah,
it ain't just the cholesterol. Let me tell you. Oh, Primetime Sports. It's 4:31 Eastern. Here's the one thing I want to ask, because you're dialed in with the guys down in the Sportsnet newsroom, all the producers and everybody, right?
Yeah,
you are dialed in.
I'd like
you should
to
see
so.
Reader walk in. It's like Dean Martin walking on stage every night.
With the little thing,
hey, what's going on? Well, yeah. With
clink, 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 clink.
Everything.
Yeah,
you got the shakes and everything.
Yeah.
We're running into a problem as we approach this deadline that we ran into with the Score Television Network during the work stoppage. One of the work stoppages in the NHL. For some reason, we had one shot of Gary Bettman that we would use over and over and over.
The pizza one? Was it the one where he was eating pizza?
He was eating pizza all the time.
Yep.
And they refused to run another shot.
I know. He just poor Gary got caught eating pizza one night.
I'll take a still. I'll take a photo over the pizza shot anymore.
Yep.
It became the pizza work stoppage.
Yeah, I remember the pizza work stoppage. That was the 04 work stoppage. Yeah, or was it 05?
Whatever.
04. 04 into 05. Thank you.
So what I'm noticing now, because I'm watching Connected all the time, I'm noticing we're running into an issue with Anthopoulos where from three spring trainings ago, we get the shot of him in the red golf shirt, picking up the phone, half laughing because he knows he's just doing this for stock footage.
Yes.
And he's just kind of, and then he picks up the BlackBerry Bold, which none of us have anymore.
Oh, whoa, I still do.
You don't. Let me see it. Ken Reed is showing me the phone that Alex Anthopoulos has now in every B-roll run that Connected makes of Alex Anthopoulos.
He's going to go through a man purse here.
Can you not show me you come in with luggage? Like, what do you have? What are you, fleeing from authorities?
There it is.
That's the one. No, but his was the bigger one with the silver thing.
Oh, okay.
This is an older Bold.
Okay.
This thing was Marconi through the air and over the ocean. For the first time.
And there's also the same stock viz as the one of Alex in the office with all the names of every major league player up in the office. Yeah.
You know what the names are up there? Like Canseco. Like, they don't, I'm just asking nicely. It's not a big deal.
I'm going to take a chance on Trent Speaker. I think he's got a career in front of him on the mound. And what about that Honus Wagner down at shortstop? We got to get him out of Pittsburgh. We got to trade for him. You got to trade for him, Alex? You're going to do it. AA, you're going to do it. You're going to bring him to Toronto. You can do it, kid.
This Yogi Bear is going to be somebody.
I'm telling you, he's dynamite behind the plate. And what about this young Mantle? Oh, the last boy. He's fantastic.
You're, like, oddly good at that. It's kind of weird.
It's scary.
It's pretty good, though.
I do it when they wear retro NFL uniforms or retro baseball uniforms. I'll just break it out in the highlights.
The New York Football Giants coming out for week 8, the final week of the season.
What
getting
rush.
Ready for the NFC title game.
That's 3 yards up the middle.
3 yards and a cloud of dust. Oh, time to head to those concessions.
What is that, a forward pass?
Yeah. You're pretty good at it, too.
No, I'm
We've
not.
Got a future.
Anyway, I'm begging... Ask the guys. We just need a different shot of AA.
Okay, let's
That's
get
all
a different shot about
a different the red golf shirt phone thing.
Yeah.
It's been done.
Yeah,
I'll take Alex eating pizza at this point. I'll take something
Whoa.
Different. I know that's a stretch for me.
Okay, new stock biz of Alex Anthopoulos for Connected.
Please,
we're on it
because this is there is no other story. It is July 30th.
I'm
there
on
is
it.
No other story.
This is my cheat sheet for the show tonight, which I've also used for the radio. Look at this.
Okay.
Okay, here's the pen I stole from you guys again.
I thought I had bad penmanship. He looks like he writes with his foot.
My dad's a doctor. New AA stock.
Oh, that is pure prescription
That's
writing.
Easy to see. Here's the old man's autograph,
by the way. Get some penicillin, see?
D.S. Reed, MD. There it is right there on my report card.
All right, so the doctor is in. Ken Reed is in. I'm Sid Sixera. We're going to take a break. We'll keep our eyes on Twitter. The Lester thing isn't done. We've seen nothing from the Jays this afternoon, but we'll obviously pass it along. Rob Becker, next, we'll talk Clipper sale and how awful the NCAA is. Sid Sixero, Ken Reed, Primetime Sports, Sportsnet Radio Network, and 360.
Cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Now more great sports talk on Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
Primetime Sports, it's Xero, Ken Reed. Get to Rob Becker in just a second here. Quick question online. Longtime friend, Showdown Joe, tweets into both of us. Anderson Silva, Nick Diaz is a go for Super Bowl weekend, UFC 183. Like or dislike, Ken Reed?
Like, and the UFC needs that. They need Anderson Silva. They need somebody to move some pay-per-views right about now, methinks.
I agree with you. I hope Anderson's okay, because I like Anderson, and his leg was jacked up pretty hard. Legal analyst, Rob Becker. Hello, Rob.
Hey.
How are things?
How you doing?
Good.
Good.
Sorry, I'm going to use... The Skype thing is weird to me. I'm sorry, Rob. I'm just trying to get used to it. My apologies.
You don't have to yell into the microphone.
I'm sorry. I know.
Skype.
I feel like I should be yelling. I'm a rookie here, Rob. My apologies. All right. So it appears as though the Clippers' impending sale to Ballmer & Co. for $2 billion is on the go. But I'm confused with the ruling here, Rob, in terms of Donald Sterling is allowed to appeal, yet that appeal will not in any way affect the official sale. Is that right?
That's basically correct. The only way that he could get this changed is if he appeals and he gets a ruling, and that ruling is a reversal, and that reversal would have to come down before the sale is consummated. So, and that's unlike the normal situation, you know, just filing the appeal would often be enough to stop everything. But the California, this particular code that Shelley was asking for relief under a particular part of the code says that it's not good enough to simply file an appeal, that you can go ahead with that Shelley can go ahead with the sale, and as long as she hasn't been ordered not to do it by a reversal by the appellate court at the moment that she finishes the sale, then it's good. Then from then on, nothing can happen to undo the sale. The only thing that, in theory, Donald, if he were to later get it reversed, he might be able to get money damages. But he would not be able to undo the sale. So, and plus, it would be very hard to get money damages because most people think $2 billion is the best he could have gotten. So that's how that works.
So, Rob, when and will this ever end? Like, is this going to end soon, or is this just going to keep going and going and going?
Well, it depends what you mean by this. I mean,
this whole saga. When's this team going to be sold, and we can just move on, and we can get back with our lives?
No, well, I do think that there will not be a reversal by the 15th of August, and I think you were probably going to see the sale go through by August 15th.
Okay,
and I mean Donald may keep suing for money and filing all sorts of suits. Those could go on forever, but I think you will really see the sale take place and the Clippers transferred into Ballmer's hands by August 15th.
Rob Becker here on Primetime Sports. Moving on to the terrible NCAA as they continue to do business their way. They settle a $70 million concussion lawsuit, but none of the money is actually going to anyone who claims, as of yet, to have suffered a concussion in any sport. Explain this one to me.
Yeah, well, I should maybe ask the plaintiff's attorneys to explain it to me, but you're right. This is very unlike the NFL settlement. The only money that's coming in, the $70 million, is for monitoring athletes going forward. It's not even for making them better. It's certainly not for any kind of damages. It just goes for if you're an athlete now and you want to see, you know, are you hurt? You know, you can take tests that might reveal that you're hurt and you know, that you've had some sort of brain damage or whatever. And then you're free to sue the NCAA with a brand new suit on your own. And the problem is for most people, you know, unless you're very rich, you're not going to be able to do that suit. You're not going to be able to pay an attorney by the hour. And an attorney is not very likely to take the suit, you know, on contingency, because he's going to have a huge fight on his hands, and he may not get very much money at the far end. You may be able to find a few people, may be able to find some attorneys who are willing to take the risk. But even so, I mean, none of that money, as you're saying, none of that money is a result of the settlement. It would be the result of a brand new suit. So I really can't believe this is what they've ended up with. And indeed, some of the other plaintiffs' lawyers, not the ones that are in charge, but some of the other plaintiffs' lawyers are against the settlement for this reason, have told the judge that, and are being allowed to put in written objections. And I think what, you know, the excuse that the plaintiffs' attorneys have offered is that there are so many athletes and there's so many different facts and different sports and different time periods that there's no way that we can litigate this as a class. The idea being, for a class lawsuit, you have to have a certain amount of common facts amongst all the plaintiffs. But to me, I think the mistake that the plaintiff's lawyers made, was to have such a huge class. What should have been done, it seems to me, is you could have a class, for instance, of all the athletes who attended a specific college or a certain conference, or maybe you would say all athletes in one sport throughout the country. By doing that, you could get a more manageable class of people who, you know, have a lot of facts in common, and then you might have been able to actually win some money. But they didn't do that, and it's not clear to me whether, under the terms of the settlement, that can still be done. I'll say this. If you can opt out, you always have the right to opt out of a settlement, a class settlement. So it could be that certain individual plaintiffs will opt out and then try to create a new class along the size that I'm saying, a smaller class that might be more manageable.
Incredible. Incredible. But not. I'm not completely shocked either on the other side of that coin. Rob Becker, legal analyst. Rob, we appreciate the time today. Thank you, man.
Okay.
There was Rob Becker via Skype.
So safe to say the plaintiffs in that NCAA case didn't use one of those lawyers who advertises as, we don't get paid unless you get paid.
No.
Hey, great news. I settled the lawsuit for $70 million and you're not getting any of it.
It was a bunch of Lionel Hutz's.
Yeah, there's some Lionel Hutz going on there. But guess who did get paid in all of that?
What's that?
The lawyers.
The lawyers.
They all got paid.
The lawyers. Remember the Halloween episode when Lionel Hutz was representing the 75 Flyers?
They
were on the jury. The 75
the
Flyers were on the jury.
Bullies are on the jury.
And
yeah.
Lionel Hutz is representing Homer, and then he just runs out of the washroom window, and you never see him again.
Why did the Flyers have blue jerseys in that episode? Remember that? They had Flyers.
I'm half colorblind. I couldn't tell you what color. Seriously, there were blue jerseys.
Is that what you're wearing out today? Yeah, they had blue. Like, it was kind of like,
what I'm wearing today.
Nothing.
It's a gray thing with a thing.
What's
wrong with this?
I'm throwing stones here, by the way. Del Boca Vista.
He's wearing a look. Yeah, whatever. Versace.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Whatever. All right. So by this time tomorrow, you were doing this again tomorrow, 4 o'clock.
Yes, tomorrow again at 4 o'clock.
Will the Jays have done something of significance by this time tomorrow?
I don't think so. I don't think they're going to go break the bank or do anything crazy. They may do something.
I don't think there's a bank to break based on what you're hearing, but
No, I don't think they do anything ludicrous. Put it that way.
Luda. Thanks, Kenny.
You're not going to be going down to the Jays and buying a new jersey with the name of whomever they acquire, if they do acquire it.
I don't know. I could see a Cologne 38 coming soon.
Oh!
Don Meehan, Doug Whaley, Bills GM, Mike Tyson, Tim Raines, and last but not least, Elliot Friedman. Primetime Sports. Sportsnet Radio Network at 360. My name is Sid.